All right, your Bible is open to Philippians chapter 3. And thus far, we've seen the three basic principles of four. We're on the third one we're working on now, of having joy in the Christian life. We've learned, number one, from chapter 1, that the philosophy of our life must be centered in Jesus or we'll never be happy, right? You will never have real joy as long as Jesus is not the center of everything you think, say, and do. You know, it's so easy to become the center of our own universe. Have you met these people that the whole world revolves around them? They think the whole world revolves around them. And we think that too, so don't think too highly of ourselves. But Jesus is to be the hub of the wheel of our life. He really is. And as long as the person of Jesus is the thing and the one thing and one person we focus on, we're going to be all right. Second thing we learn from chapter 2 is the pattern of our life must be patterned after Jesus. Follow the Lord Jesus. Live as he lived. And right now in chapter 3, we're learning that in this section of Scripture that the purpose of our life must be conformed to Jesus. We must fulfill why God put us here. You know, God in eternity past, before time ever began, as we know it, time. God looked down through what we call time. He saw you. He loved you. He made a way for you to be saved, and he knew that you would get saved, and he carved out a purpose in the future for us, but, you know, God's all ever present now. But for us, he carved out a purpose for your life, a plan for your life. That's to become like Jesus Christ in a unique and special way that only you can become. Now, next week, we're going to look at number 4, which is from chapter 4, which is the provision of our life is met in Jesus. And if you're a worrywart, you must be here next week. Chapter 4 will cure you of that. But right now, we're looking at chapter 3, talking about God's purpose for our lives. In order to have Christian joy, we must have our purpose for living centered on and controlled by Jesus. Look at verse 12, Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul expresses his dissatisfaction with his own walk with God. Think about that. He says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. Now, the word perfect there means spiritually mature, having arrived. He said, I'm not speaking as one who's already arrived spiritually. I've met a few of those. Have you? I mean, they think they've got it all worked out. They pray about things and they decide that they've got everything all worked out and they've arrived spiritually. Always I'm scared of those, not scared, I just kind of wince when somebody comes up and says, Pastor, I love you in the Lord, but. Or, even worse, God has sent me to give you a message. Well, I've got one right here. What can you add to that? I had a music guy one time, a singer, he was kind of a singer. He was a song leader, and he had a wife who was an excellent soloist in church. I was in a music guy in Texas, and this guy at least had arrived spiritually. And yes, I was young, and yes, I was, immature in many ways and all of that. But the way this guy just, he just decided that God was telling him that he was supposed to come and tell me all of my faults. So, and then once he gave me the list, then of course he would walk away triumphant and leave me, just bleeding to death, which he did. And this guy had just, he knew everything. Well, none of us know everything, right? None of us have arrived spiritually. We're in this journey together, But none of us have arrived spiritually. Paul says, I'm not speaking as one who's arrived spiritually. He says, I've not yet come to the level of spiritual maturity or service to Christ that God purposed in eternity past for me to be. Paul understood quite well how far he fell short of God's plan for his life. And as he looked at his life, particularly as it related to his spiritual walk and service to Christ, he was dissatisfied at himself. He says, I have not already attained, arrived. Neither am I already perfect. I'm not spiritually mature. Let me ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hand. Are you satisfied with your spiritual condition this morning? Are you happy with it? Is your relationship with Christ as close to Him as it's ever been? Are you closer to Jesus this Sunday than last Sunday? This week than last week? This month than last month? This year than last year? This year than 5 years ago? Etc., etc. What about your service to Him? Do you read His Word daily? Do you pray daily? I don't mean thank you, Lord, for this food and now I lay me down to sleep. That should be automatic. But I mean, do you communicate? Now, that's a two-way thing. Don't just tell God all of your problems and tell Him all of the things you want. Listen to Him for a while. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says you have to get still. And we live in a nation full of very active people. Nobody sits still. You know, you go to the restaurant and you know, I was at a restaurant a while back and here's a three, not even three, probably two, two-year-old kid, you know, and he's watching a phone. They're not talking. They're all looking at phones. You know, about the only time we get still. And in fact, people with these, you know, people have been hit by cars walking through intersections looking at a phone. We're busy. We have all kinds of things that are supposed to make our lives easier. Automatic clothes washing machines, automatic clothes drying machines, automatic dishwashing machines. We have riding lawnmowers. We have automobiles that, you know, are relatively new in this world. I mean, you know, we have all these things that's supposed to make our life easier, right? And yet we have less time than my grandparents did, who would sit on the porch and read the Bible, who would sit at the table, never in front of the television, sit at the table and eat a meal. When I was growing up, my dad, we'd be driving down the street, and my dad would see someone sitting on the porch just rocking. And my dad would say, how do they have time to do that? Well, we make time. We make time. You have to make time to read your Bible every day. Make the time to pray every day. Are you telling others about Jesus every day? Are you finding at least one person to talk to about the Lord, about His church, to invite them? Are you faithful in your church attendance? Do you give God back a portion of that which He's entrusted to you, of your time, your talents, and your resources? As you look at your walk with Jesus, are you, and your service to Him, are you satisfied with them? B.B. McKinney, the great hymn writer of a generation ago, said, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He suffered to redeem me. He's died to set me free. He is with me in my trials. Best of friends of all is He. I can always count on Jesus, but can He count on me? I can hear the voice of Jesus calling out so pleadingly. Go and win the lost and straying. Is He satisfied with me? When my work on earth is ended and I cross the mystic sea, oh, that I could hear Him saying, I am satisfied with Thee. And the chorus of that great hymn is, I am satisfied, I am satisfied, I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is the Master satisfied with me? Paul says, no, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, again, that word perfect has to do with not having arrived at the level of spiritual maturity that I'm supposed to be. He says, I've not become sinlessly perfect. Paul knew he had a long way to go. But instead of being content with his current spiritual condition, instead of having a pity party about it, instead of blaming someone else for his condition, perhaps even, you know, his pastor or his church, what does Paul do? He says in verse 12, he says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Another word, apprehend, is a big word. It just means to grab onto, grasp. It has the idea of grabbing onto or grasping onto. It's like a man who has fallen off a cliff and he's grabbed a branch, a small stick that's growing out of the side of the cliff, and he's hanging onto that. And he's desperately hoping someone will come to help him. And he cries out for help, holding on to this stick, this branch. And someone hears him call. And they come to the edge of the cliff to see what they can do to help him. I was watching the news last night, and there was a news about a man who apparently an animal had gotten, it was up north where it's all really, really, really cold, and this animal, this I think it was a dog, got into the water, and this man went down to rescue the dog. He got stuck in there himself. He could not, of course, hypothermia, you know, he got to where he could. And the firemen formed a human chain, grabbing each other's waist belts, and they reached over and they rescued. He was crying out for help, like this man over the cliff. He cried out for help. And he cries out for help, and a fella comes and he sees him there, and he reaches down and he gets a hold of the man's left hand. He grabs the guy's left hand. But he can't quite reach the man on the sticks hanging by the other hand, his right hand. But in order to be rescued, the man hanging there has to reach out and grab hold of the other hand of the man who's there to rescue him. That's what Paul is talking about here. He says, I've not arrived to the place in my spiritual life that God planned for me to be at this point when he did it in eternity past. I'm not where I should be. But I am reaching up to him who is reaching down to me, and I choose to grasp that for which I have been grasped for. Paul had already been saved, but that's not all there is to the Christian life. Jesus had him by one hand. Now he's saved from death. But in order to climb up and move away from the edge of that precipice and walk with Jesus, he has to grab hold with his other hand, or he's just going to hang there, saved from death, without any further spiritual development until, you know, unable to progress in his walk or service to Christ. Paul was not content just to, quote unquote, be saved. A lot of people say, you know, I got my salvation, I got my little fire insurance policy right here, and I'm not going to go to hell. Well, that's wonderful, friend. Praise the Lord, you know Jesus. But is that all? Jesus has got you, and he's not going to let you go. Praise the Lord for that. But as long as you're just right there hanging, you're never going to grow spiritually. Paul says, I am not content to be just saved. He wanted to become all that Christ the Lord had intended for him to be, and that's why he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, that's the plan for your life, that for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I haven't got a hold of it yet, but I'm not going to just hang here. I'm going to move forward. Yesterday, I conducted the service, memorial service, for our former minister of music, Kent Buttram, at the First Baptist Church in Broken Arrow. Kent was our music minister for many years, and he went on to be with the Lord about a week and a day or so ago. He retired from being a church minister of music after serving here. He'd been in Valley View before us and several, many other churches before that. He joined First Baptist Broken Arrow and sang in the senior adult choir. They call them the Joy Singers. And He sang solos. In fact, at the service, the joy singer sang a song that Kent always sang the solo part for. Another fellow sang it instead. But there was something else that Kent did in the 20 years that he was there as a member of that church. I mean, he wasn't leading music. He wasn't doing all, you know, singing a lot other than in choir. But Kent was not content to look back at all that God had done through him in all the years before. He chose to keep serving the Lord in so-called retirement, and he found his new area of service to be soul winning. Even when he got to the point where, other than just a brief few steps, he couldn't walk very much. He had to go around on one of those powered scooters, you know. I helped him build a ramp. In fact, he wore out several cars doing this. I helped him build a ramp so he could drive that scooter up into the back of his van, minivan, and then he could get out of it and had an automatic door shutter, you know, the hatch would shut, and he could pull himself, he'd take the seats out except for the front two, and he could get in the front seat and drive. Every single day, Kent got in his car, or his van, or his truck, whatever he had at the time, and he went down to tell people about Jesus. There was a place called Arms Around Broken Arrow where his job was to be the encourager, and he would talk to people about Jesus every single day. He would call me or call other people and say, "Led 10 people to Jesus today." He would call and say, "I led one person to Jesus." He was just as excited about the one as the 10. Every day, if you were to ask him, "Kent, what are you going to do today?" You know what? You know what happens when you ask a retiree, a person who's just, you know, they're not. "What are you going to do today?" "Well, I'm going to probably make some soup, and I've got to go to the store. And if I can get up, I'm going to go down there and buy a few things." And, you know, when you ask Kent, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm going to go lead somebody to Jesus. I'm going to go find someone who needs to get saved." He would talk to them in the grocery store. He would talk to them at the cafeteria, wherever he went to eat. He was always going somewhere to eat. He just talked to people all the time. Every time he went down to Hands Across Broken Arrow, he's sharing Jesus. "I'm going to go out and share Jesus with someone so they can get saved." He forgot the things. In other words, he didn't forget. Meaning, he just set those things. "That's wonderful what God did through me in the past, but I'm not content to say this was wonderful and exciting, and now I'm just going to sit down on my blessed assurance and wait till Jesus calls me home." No, you don't retire from serving God. He may change you may get refired. He fire you up to do something else, but you don't retire. He may gear you to do something else. Kent did music for decades, and he still sang, as I said, but he changed gears. He became a soul winner, forgetting those things. "I count not myself to have apprehended," verse 13. "I'm not arrived. I don't have hold of it. But this one thing I do," you know, that circle, that word "one." You know, most of us would have to write "these 3,500 things we do." We do all kinds of things except the one thing that we need to be doing, which is what? "Forget the things which are behind, reach forth unto those things which are before, ahead, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He said, "I've not arrived, but I'm not content where I'm at. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. I want to allow God to use me this week to take that gospel tract that I was given and share it with somebody. Not just, you know, okay, where am I can throw this thing, but Lord, take this gospel tract, bless it, use it to win somebody to Jesus." Our church name and phone number, or church and address and all that, are on the back. Gospel tracts work, but they don't work if we don't pass them out. And Lord, I'm going to pray for that person that you've got prepared to pick it up. Where do you want me to put it? Here in the grocery store on a shelf. Maybe over here at the drive-thru at the bank. You know, they have those tubes. You can stick one in one of those. Did you know you can stick one of those in the tubes? Quick Trip has those plastic deals where they have literature. And you can Drop one of them in there. Don't cover up the one that talks about the veterans, though, because I really think that's a sacred thing. We should honor our veterans. And it could offend somebody that's a veteran. But put it over the one that talks about spending money. Share the gospel. Find someone this week and start out simple. Lord, I'm not going to try to, you know, win 10 people to Jesus today or tomorrow, but I want to start simple. This week, Lord, lay on my heart one person that you want me to share the gospel with and invite to church. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee. This is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win one soul for thee. Let's bow for just a moment.